Welcome to Life in Debt, a practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of this show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. This show provides practical, general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are its traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. Please get some notebook paper and pens so you can take notes during the show. First, let's look at some debt-related news and facts for the week. I'd like to continue this week with what I was doing last week, going over some of the myths about filing bankruptcy, which have been disseminated through various media sources since the passage of the law in 2005, which had some impact on consumer debtors, but none to the extent as has been disseminated in and promoted by the media sources, which are highly supported by big businesses, as of course was the law itself, which was paid for and written by major lending companies, particularly credit card issuers. A point number six, continuing from last week, is that if you do file for bankruptcy, the myth is that you will never get another job or be able to rent an apartment. While it is true that there are companies and landlords that look at these issues regarding your finances, but remember that if you are having difficulties with your finances, it is in fact more likely that you can heal them through a bankruptcy, which will ultimately lead to improving your credit score, than if you let it continue to languish and deteriorate. You, in fact, have a better chance of landing that job or getting an apartment if you do fix your finances, which is what the fresh start is all about in bankruptcy. When you haven't filed bankruptcy, often what happens is that you are harassed at work from debt collectors or with income garnishments. And frankly, employers do not want that kind of activity in their place of business. So in effect, filing stops that kind of activity and you're better off. So the employer would be more likely to hire you post-bankruptcy and while you're in the process of repairing your credit in an effective way. You need to remember that once you do file bankruptcy, it becomes clear to future creditors, be they giving you money or landlords, that now you do not have unsecured debt. And of course, you can be a person who has money, a salary, cash, to pay rent and to pay new bills, not old credit card debt or garnishments upon your salary. So both the employers and the landlords are more likely to see positivity growing in your situation after you have filed bankruptcy. Now, another myth that is being perpetrated is that if you plan to file bankruptcy, you might as well max out your credit cards. This is quite incorrect, and you need to stop using the cards and stop paying them and see a consumer bankruptcy professional. If you take out large cash advances just before filing bankruptcy or use the cards for luxury items, you will be creating more problems in your bankruptcy filing. And if it is seen as bad faith, which the credit lenders want to bring up, you may find yourself in an adversarial proceeding in which the creditor is claiming that you knew you were insolvent and this was by legal effect, a kind of fraud. And as a result, that debt does not get discharged at all. You need to remember that bankruptcy is meant for those who are unfortunate, but you also need to be honest. Another myth that I'm hearing a lot of these days is that you should do practically anything to avoid bankruptcy with just about any assets that you have, including cashing in your 401k or retirement funds. I have dealt with this in the past, and this is absolutely wrong. Your retirement funds need to be protected by you because they are protected by the law. You will be taxed and penalized on retirement withdrawals by the IRS. And under the new law, in many jurisdictions, taking out that sum of money is included in the cash income that will be analyzed during the last 6 months of your income receipts. This can and will be, for most people, a huge challenge financially because it will put them over the median for the household size, which means rather than filing a simple Chapter 7, they may be forced into filing a Chapter 13 with a 5-year payback plan, which was not really what the debtor ever could do if you look both at the past income and prospectively into the future, considering what that household will be making. So it's a dangerous move. Yet it has been highly promoted by much of the famous media personalities who are dead set against bankruptcy. In a peculiar way, they're actually setting up a lot of people to even more stress and suffering if those debtors listen to these kinds of recommendations. Another myth number 9, is that one's immigration status will be affected and a person will never become a citizen. This is certainly untrue. Filing bankruptcy is not a crime and will not affect anyone's green card or citizenship or ability to naturalize as a U.S. citizen. But it is these kinds of misstatements that generate a lot of fear for people who really are suffering financially and need the benefit of the law and yet stay away from getting that protection and benefit. Another myth, and you have to be very careful about this kind of situation, is that fame and personality or charisma on television, on media networks, should be listened to with a great amount of care. These kinds of people are making a profit by or through their programs. They're not nonprofit productions. So you have to be quite careful when you hear them say things like cash in your retirement or do anything to avoid bankruptcy. Remember, every individual's situation is different, and you really should seek out professional help personally with your facts and circumstances to get a total picture for yourself. Some big name on a talk show who says, do not file bankruptcy in response to a telephone call, I personally suggest is not only making a financial career for him or herself in having such shows, but is being tremendously unfair in dealing with the total person and his or her needs, the person who has posed the question. If you're just tuning in, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and this program is Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. In continuing, I'd like to recap a little bit about what I discussed last week. There were points I was going over for financial CPR when things get really tough and out of hand. And one of the points I brought up last week was to negotiate like crazy. I've always suggested that you make those calls to your creditor, your landlord, your credit card company, if you were going to miss a payment, and perhaps that could get you in some better stance with them, at least temporarily. However, it's often the case that there really is no response which is meaningful to you in your situation when you make those calls and you're at the point where you are falling way behind on all your bills and there doesn't seem to be any quick way out of the hole. As I mentioned last week, if you are way behind on your bills and your credit score is starting to be about the same as your body temperature, then there really is no point in trying to hide it. Your creditors, of course, already know, which means that they also know that you may be thinking about filing a bankruptcy, a situation where they might not get anything. In the upside-down world of finances, when things get to this point, it's actually a very good negotiation tool to have that bankruptcy dangling in their face. So if you are in that much trouble with your bills, at least some companies will be willing to negotiate. So you can and should try calling your creditors to see if they are willing to deal. But the key is to really be firm. Tell them you simply do not have the money to pay in full. Come clean, telling them what went wrong and how basically you've turned that corner. You're hoping to avoid bankruptcy, but only if they're willing to work with you. If a particular company agrees to a deal, make very certain that if you pay, they will erase the debt completely. You need to get it in writing. Some companies offer to put you on a monthly payment plan, frankly, with no intention of ever wiping out the debt. If you get that kind of offer, you can't take it. You walk away from it. You don't want to spread out your payments. You want to get rid of the debt completely. And of course, you need to have everybody on board because you're not going to improve your credit score, your financial situation, if you still have some creditors going after you because they're not willing to get on board for this. And as I mentioned last week, you also have to be careful because if you are not technically insolvent in a place like Iowa where you may have a lot of equity in your house, the lender will be, in most cases now, required to give a debt forgiveness 1099 to you the following year. It'll be issued to the IRS, which means all of the debt that was reduced is now considered income on which you need to pay income taxes the following year. Not a happy situation for those people who are very practically speaking insolvent, but perhaps on paper because of things like homesteads aren't. Again, this is why you need the help of professionals, accountants, and attorneys who can look at your circumstances and walk you through what is useful and what is not useful. And particularly nowadays, a lot of consumer bankruptcy attorneys do have free initial consultations, particularly members of the National Association of Consumer Bankruptcy Attorneys, where it's highly recommended to give people this benefit. So you can find out a lot without having to pay anything. And that really was the last point I made last week, because if your situation is such that push is now coming to shove, you need to call a bankruptcy attorney. If you are on the verge of bankruptcy, you may be able to negotiate yourself back off the cliff by getting control of all or most of your creditors and convincing them to take less, but you also need to be realistic. You cannot agree to a payment plan that you can't afford, and you cannot expect miracles. Many companies are not reasonable, and some are not even polite when you start the negotiation process. You'll find your back is against a wall, and you can't keep fighting when there's no way out. At some point, bankruptcy may be the right and the best choice for a household. We see 1.5 million families filing for bankruptcy every year, and just from personal experience, the vast majority of clients will say that filing was the best step to get back on the right track again, to get that fresh start, to get the stress relieved. So when the crisis is there, it's real, and it is bringing a great amount of distress, you need to look at all possible angles of helping yourself and healing the situation so it does not erode your health, your relationships, and your sanity, frankly. Money troubles go into all aspects of the human's life. When you get into financial trouble, your wallet isn't the only thing that suffers. You have to look out for yourself and look out for your loved ones. It's really important that you're kind to the people you love despite the financial difficulties. Financial trouble is one of the most stressful things in a person's life, and it's right up there with divorce and the death of a loved one. So no matter how frightened or exhausted or frustrated you get, you still need to be kind to the people that you love. That, of course, starts with being honest. Honest to your mate, honest to your kids, and honest to yourself. Remember that kids are a lot smarter than we give them credit for, and they know when we are worried. But also remember that they have very active imaginations, which means that they can make something a lot worse than whatever is really going on. They know something is wrong in their world, and they often think of the worst, for example, divorce or disease. So you have to bring it up in a delicate and proper way with your kids in order to reduce the stress in his or her life. And also, as I said, be very kind to your mate. If your family is like most, your marriage is more vulnerable when you get in financial trouble than at any other time in your life. Financial calamity is one of the most frustrating, humiliating, and exhausting experiences a couple can go through. Husbands often feel ashamed in their inability to provide, and wives may feel overburdened by the demands of bill collectors, bosses, children, and calls to your employer may make your boss furious, or a bill collector can start calling you names, and this is growing and festering inside of you. So your mate is there, and it is very tempting to lash out in that direction instead. So it's important to be kind. You're both under enormous strain during a financial crisis, and taking it out on each other will only make things worse. If you are just tuning in, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and this program is Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. So in continuing, I'm talking about the human side of financial troubles, and I was talking a little bit about the kids and being honest with what's going on with your kids so they don't start inventing even worse scenarios in their mind, like divorce or death, and being very kind to your spouse. As I said, your spouse can be your greatest source of comfort. And on the other hand, you should also be the same for your spouse. You have to make an effort. You have to do some nice things together, things that may not cost much, like taking a walk, going out to see a sunset, and doing whatever you like, but together. And have kind of a rule of thumb that at least once a day you'll have a conversation with your spouse that isn't about money. It could be about the weather, about the kids, that's a positive, uplifting thing, something funny that you saw, about one of your animals, anything but money. Financial difficulty should not consume your life or your relationship, and that is critically important. And also, in that context, don't develop this 2020 hindsight. I've talked about this at length before. When you get in financial trouble, it is really tempting to beat up on yourself and your mate about the smarter choices you could have made, the road not taken. Maybe it's right. Maybe you should not have bought that new car. Maybe your mate should have applied for a different job, more jobs. Maybe you should have never have taken up that recreational activity that you always wanted to do and which resulted in not only costs but medical expenses. That kind of hindsight can really exacerbate your situation, keeping you up and thinking about your past mistakes over and over again. The principle is that second guessing leaves you with nothing but tears and really a sore heart. You need to get over the past mistakes and focus on making smart decisions now. You need to go very easy on yourself and the people you love. Remember that the economy we live in is extraordinarily complicated, and we've been told many things in the media in pursuit of the American dream that frankly turned out to be untrue in our personal lives, or some wrench was thrown into the works, or an obstacle on the path that we chose to attain those dreams. But with all that said, we can't conclude that we could have changed everything or some specific thing and taken control of it and come up with a completely different result. It's really all water under the bridge. And what we need is to maintain everything that is good in our life and to heal the things that have gone unhealthy. So you maintain those relationships and you go easy on yourself and the people that you love. And that will help to improve our situation dramatically today and in the future. Another important principle to consider when your financial problems get really bad is never trust a bill collector. Once you are overwhelmed with debt and you are in default, you will find oftentimes that you are the center of a lot of attention, phone calls, letters, even visits to your home. And this is all from people you least want to hear from, the bill collectors. Bill collectors have a lot of different approaches. From my past shows, you've heard about seminars that are given by many major companies to train bill collectors. Some seem to be friendly and sympathetic. Some are cold, cynical, and some are absolutely scary. And there have been a number of very big lawsuits against these scary kind of creditors. But no matter what tactic the bill collector uses, they have, frankly, as you know, only one goal. They want to get paid, period. You certainly can and should make deals with them if you have to, but don't forget that they are not on your side. I've really stressed this point before. You can certainly work out a deal with them if you are so inclined, but don't take their advice. Sometimes they throw in some legal spin or advice, often in the form of a threat, which is filled with myth and oftentimes straight out lies. For example, you can't discharge credit card debt in bankruptcy. I've had a number of clients who have heard that from bill collectors. Or they can garnish all of your wages so you will have nothing. Or that they can legally call your employer, your neighbors, or your family members, even if you've told them no. They may also suggest that you do a refinance on your house to get cash from any equity there to pay them off, an unsecured creditor, because that's the right thing to do. These kinds of statements and advice are absolutely things you should not take into consideration. If you had never been late on your bills before, you may be shocked by just how terrible and nasty bill collectors can be. They sometimes call late at night, on weekends, on Christmas morning. They call your employer trying to embarrass you, pestering your coworkers or your extended family. And some now even threaten that they can have you arrested for not paying their bill. The response for this, as I mentioned before, is to be cool, calm, and collected. If you get these kinds of threats, ask for a written letter outlining what action the creditor plans to take. If the bill collector won't write the threat down, then he or she is probably just blowing smoke, and he knows that if he puts anything in writing, his company could get sued. So suggest it comes in writing. Despite what the bill collectors do, many of their practices, which are used to intimidate people, are in fact outlawed by the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. You have a right to defend yourself, even in the conversation. The law says, for example, that debt collectors are not allowed to call before 8 a.m. or after 9 p.m., and they're not allowed to contact you at work if you tell them your employer disapproves. Of course, most creditors count on the fact that people don't know their rights, and many people who owe money are too ashamed to ask for help. But you now can do better than that. You can actually go to a website and read up on your rights. It's www.ftc.gov. Again, www.ftc.gov. Or there is a hotline, 877-FTC-HELP, H-E-L-P. So 877-FTC-HELP. This will protect you from becoming another victim. Another important point is if you have children, you need to be even more careful about bill collectors. It is very shocking yet true that there are bill collectors who routinely hassle little kids. There are companies that actually make a practice of starting their collection calls in mid-afternoon, hoping that the mother or father are out or that the kid will answer the phone during the summer, for example. And the debt collector tells the child that mommy is going to go to jail if she doesn't pay the bill. Tell her to pay and we won't call the police. Of course, these threats are untrue. The bill collector figured, however, that if he scared the kids enough, the woman will borrow some money from someone else and make a payment just to make the calls stop. So you need to protect your kids and never ever let them answer the phone when they might be talking to a bill collector. One of the nice things about today's technology is that with caller ID, you can, of course, monitor a lot of these calls. And once you know the number of a debt collector, you can avoid the harassing call. Furthermore, it is important to recognize that once you hire legal representation and that information is given to the bill collector, your attorney's number, that bill collector is supposed to be calling your attorney, not you anymore, and can be in violation of both federal and state law if they continue to make the calls. I will continue discussing some of these points next week, and I want to end with the point that the thoughts, ideas, and examples used in these programs are directly from or based on the work, theories, and books of Professor Elizabeth Warren from Harvard and her daughter, Amelia Warren Tyagi. And I highly recommend their books, All Your Worth and The Two Income Trap. And you can also visit the archives at www.kruufm.com and look into the Life and Debt section to review any of the shows from the past. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life in Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. May you enjoy and have a healthy